Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, open to Isaiah chapter 7. Put a marker in Matthew. I don't think I've ever taught on this, although I've referenced it a lot, but I've never had a message titled The Virgin Birth or The Importance of the Virgin Birth or the fact that if it wasn't a virgin birth, you're not saved. I mean, man, the natural man and other quote religions have done everything they can to ridicule our belief that Jesus was consumed in the womb of Mary by the Holy Ghost. In fact, I saw them, they were interviewing some atheists on TV the other day, and they thought, I wonder what Joseph thought about this quote, virgin conception, you know. Well, he was like any other man. He thought she was sleeping around. And the Bible's very clear to tell us that, and he had to be straightened out by an angel. But it's vitally important to your faith. It's vitally important to Christianity as a whole. Jesus was conceived supernaturally by the Holy Spirit in the womb of Mary. So we want to go back to Isaiah 7. I'm just going to give you a lot of scripture on it so you can give your own defense in case what's Christmas? It's the very celebration of that event. And so this would be an opportune time. You know, many are traveling, visiting relatives, and some of them may be unsaved, and this conversation may come up. And you need to have a lot of ammunition to show them. But I'll tell you this, the main thing to show them is Christ crucified, that they get born again, because otherwise they have very little capacity to understand anything about God. We're going to hit that verse too. So you ready? Got your fingers all limbered up? Here we go, Bible drill. You ready? Now the context, we're going to look at this prophecy from Isaiah. What was going on there, Ahaz had become king, and he was about to go into a big battle, and it was scary. And Isaiah, the prophet, came and gave him a strong word about what would happen. And Ahaz was having trouble believing it. And he says, well, okay, so let's pick it with that context. Let's pick it up here in verse 10. Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, ask thee of a sign. Now, here's the Lord speaking directly to Ahaz. Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary my God also? Now Isaiah is speaking here, and he says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And we know from Matthew's account, Emmanuel means God with us. Now see, the natural man has a hard time that a virgin is going to conceive. The natural man has a hard time with that. A lot of our modern Bible translators have a hard time with that. I just picked one. I could give you a lot of them. That same verse in the Good News Bible says, well then, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Here's a sign from God that this prophecy is true. A young woman who is pregnant. Boy, that's a sign, isn't it? That never happens. The foolishness of the rational man, they cannot accept it. They cannot accept it. See, a young woman's going to get pregnant. Ooh, sign from God. Yeah, that's what it says. A young woman who is pregnant will have a son. And we'll name him Emmanuel. That's not the same. That is not a sign. Okay? I think that happens on a pretty regular basis. Okay? But in all of history, there's only been one virgin. One virgin that bore a son. Amen? Now, go to 1 Corinthians 2. I want you to see this part. Every now and then we need a Bible drill. We need some real teaching from the Word directly. And all the teaching here is from the Word, but I mean scriptures. I like chapter and verse, please. By the way, if you weren't here Wednesday night, you missed half your life. I'm telling you right now, Mark Jenkins. I mean, I have taught that same message, but I never taught it that well. I'll just tell you now. And the visual demonstrations that he did was the best I've ever seen. I got so much out of that service. I said, don't you ever travel without that rope. You're going to be teaching that a lot. Those of you that are here know what I was talking about. That was fantastic Wednesday night. It's gave me the spiritual kick in the pants I needed. And I've been different ever since. So anyway. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is what I want to look at here, starting in verse 12. We've been over this before. The natural man, the person that's not born again, they're going to have a really hard time believing that a virgin got pregnant without the help of a natural man. This tells you why here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 12. Paul's writing to this Corinthians. He is the very one that brought the gospel to them. These are people that got born again through his ministry. So when he says, now we have received, he means now that we are born again, me and you, now that we are born again, we have received not the spirit of the world. What is that, the spirit of the world? Well, that's the nature of Adam, fallen man, that was passed down from generation to generation to every person in the world. See, and that's another thing that the natural man doesn't like to believe. They look at the different races, you know, black, white, yellow, Asian, polka dotted, whatever, stripe, I don't care. They look, and they don't want to think that we all came from just two people, Adam and Eve. Yet Eve in the Bible is very clearly declared to be the mother of all living. The mother of all living. That's hard for them to believe that too. But it's still the truth. Well, here it says, now we have received, not the spirit of the world, not that spirit of Adam. Once you get born again, we have received the spirit which is of God. That's the new birth. That's the spirit that was spawned in you from the second man, the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You have a spirit in you that you did not have when you was born from your mother's womb. You have a spirit now that was breathed into you. The moment you got born again, this spirit which is of God, this new nature, this spirit of Christ, the Bible calls it, you were born again that way. You are not of this world. Jesus said in his prayer, we looked at it the last time I taught, I think, John 17, you are not of, he says, they, meaning all who would believe on him, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. You're no more of this world than the Lord Jesus. But the Lord Jesus is of this world if it wasn't a virgin birth. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. And notice, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, that's the unborn again man, he receives not the things. He receives them not. He receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. And that includes the virgin birth. They go, what? Come on, get real. We are getting real. Our gospel is a supernatural gospel. You are a supernatural creature. You have power, supernatural power over a natural world by the Holy Ghost and in the name of Jesus. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him. Now notice, neither can he know them. He can't know them. That's why you can pound the table and, you know, eat goose and chicken and what dressing, whatever you have for Christmas, and argue about this till your tongue rolls out on the floor. And they just can't receive it. That's why Paul in the same letter, just a little bit earlier, he says, when I first came to you, I didn't preach anything but Christ and him crucified. Why? You have to be born again. You can't know these things. You can't know them. You can't understand them. You have no capacity. That's why Jesus told Peter right before the cross, he said, Peter, I have a lot of things I'd like to tell you, but you can't bear them now. And Peter, I'm sure he went, tell me. You can't bear them now. In other words, you haven't been born again. I've taught you all that I can. as a natural man. To go from here, you must be born again. Then I'll be able to communicate spirit to spirit with you, and you'll have a capacity on the inside of you to understand the things of God. People, that is you. Turn to somebody and say, I can understand God. I can understand what He's given me. I can know all those things just as well as the natural man knows the things of the world. I know the things of the kingdom of God. That's good teaching right there. Now, I'm telling you, that's the truth, see? All right? Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. He that is spiritual, it says judgeth, really discerns, understands all things. Yet he himself is judged, discerned. He's not. Nobody can understand you. Your unsaved friends think you're weird. They'll always think you're weird until they get saved. You know? You're not weird, you're just saved. Well, I know some saved and weird, but anyway, we're going to, not me, though. Not me. Go over to Matthew now. Matthew chapter 1, starting verse 18. Oh, I like this. I love the Word of God. The older I get, the more I love it. I want to hug it and kiss it. I want to thank God for it. You know that verse most of us started out with or early on. Now, you know, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Just, we wouldn't, you know what a miracle it is? Do you know what a miracle it is to have God's thoughts? It's a miracle. This infinite God, through a miracle, arranged for us to have His thoughts. And the truth, it's more than His thoughts. It is the absolute truth of the universe. It's more than that. It's the truth of everything. Whatever created, you know, He that created you. It's the truth of where He is. And we have it in printed page. No wonder men have given their life over the centuries to pass this down generation to generation. What a miracle that we have. No wonder it says faith comes. You wouldn't know any of these things without His Word. We wouldn't know. We thank God for the Holy Ghost, too. He, by the Holy Ghost, these writers, especially in the New... Well, no, both Testaments. By the Holy Ghost, men were moved to write these things. Now, this came from heaven. It came from God. Okay. Excuse me. Okay. Matthew 1:18. It's Christmas time. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was engaged, espoused to Joseph. Now notice, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. What does that mean? What do you mean? let's see. I would remember, had we come together, and you're pregnant, now, he was going to put her away, but he was a good man, he didn't want to embarrass her publicly, but he thought at that moment, he thought she was messing around. Modern vernacular, he thought, uh-oh. So he was going to put her away. Apparently they were married at this point. But they hadn't come together. I didn't look up espoused, I'm sorry. But anyway, you get the picture, right? So, verse 20, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Glory to God. God had to intervene himself, just like he intervened later with Peter on the rooftop. And God, did you know God will still intervene in your dreams? He'll still intervene with a vision. You may fall over in a trance on the rooftop. Hopefully not while you're driving down the road, but waiting for him to fix lunch, you know. God will teach you by dreams, by visions. I remember Yanji Cho years ago, he took a lot of flack over it, but he said the language of the Holy Spirit is visions and dreams. I remember in the early days when we first, oh, 5-6 years when we were here and doing the message, what we call the message, especially Dave's series on distinguishing God's voice, and we would take what's on there and just do it hour upon hour, day after day, week after week, month after month, trying to get to where I could discern the voice of the Lord. And I heard all kinds of stuff. Heard all kinds of things, you know. Some of it was God. Most of it was me at that stage. Some of it was the enemy, actually, trying to get me to judge you. You know, he is the accuser of the brethren. You got to watch that voice. But as time went on, and you make your mistakes, you know, I don't have to explain to you again your trips to the barbershop at 2 o'clock. I think most of you know that. Why did God send me to the barbershop at 2 o'clock to witness to somebody and no one was there? He didn't send you. That wasn't him. Well, learn. Don't quit, learn. But then I did begin to hear him, so did Sue, and especially in a ministry line. It got to where I could just hear so clear. It was amazing. You know, it's like the whole world would shut out, and I'd be standing in front of somebody, and all I had to do is, I mean, I can't do it unless he spoke. You know, it's like Dave says, I can't prophesy unless he does. But in those early days, it was a voice, because that's what I was learning how to do. And I would hear, and I would speak. It was just really very scary. Because there's another voice in you going, that's not God, that's not God, that's not God. But you learn. And it's just amazing the accuracy that would happen. But as time went on, I still hear some, but the vast majority of the time when we're ministering to somebody now or praying or he just shows it, the vast majority of the time now, it's not hearing like that. It's not a voice so often. It is some. Most of the time now, it's a movie. It's pictures. And I didn't understand that for a long time. So in prayer one time, he just explained to me. He said, well, the lowest form of communication on earth is email. Well, it is, because all you have is the text. You can't hear the inflections of the voice. You can't, like in my case, you know, it's one, even when you see my eyebrows, you know, there's my body language, everything. In other words, pictures carry just a whole lot, and sound carry just a whole lot more information than text alone, and video carries more information than audio alone. You know, when you can see, I think, again, Mark's message Wednesday night, that's one for video. I mean, to see that visual demonstration had such an impact on me. And, well, anyway. In the same way, I'm just trying to encourage you that the Lord will speak to you in dreams and visions, pictures. Sometimes I get them and I have to pray for the understanding. I encourage you, if you get a dream and you don't understand it. Now, there are some people that seem to be gifted, like Joseph, to be able to interpret dreams. Most people are not. And I'm leery of going around trying to get an interpretation from people. I figure the same Holy Ghost that gave me the dream is smart enough to interpret it for me. If I just stay in his presence and pray, it may be a while, but I'll eventually get it. And so, boy, that was a sidebar. Okay, back to the virgin birth here. But visions and dreams, and I expect more and more as we approach the end. And notice, he can send an angel. You know, one of the confessions we do in calling in the lost is angels. He dispatches angels to soften the hearts and prepare people to receive. Is he not doing that, an angel of the Lord, coming to do that exactly with Joseph, who was going to put her away? An angel coming through that ministry, what he said to Joseph, it changed the whole course of history. My goodness. So anyway, picking it back up here, verse 20, let's read that again. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife. Yeah, thy wife. Okay, so they were married. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Verse 21. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. Now that's the verse we just read back there in Isaiah 7:14. This is, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. And he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, how vitally important is that? In Matthew, we're not going to go into that part. You can study it later. He gives the genealogy, the lineage of Joseph. Even though Joseph was not really the biological father of Jesus, still yet, Joseph's line goes back to kings. He goes back to King David, and that was prophesied that Jesus would be the son of David. He'd be of the line of David. Luke, if I'm not mistaken, gives Mary's lineage, and it goes not only back to King David. What I love about that one, in Luke's account, it goes all the way back to Adam. That was such a revelation day when it finally hit me that Jesus did not die just in the place of Abraham. If that would have been the case, he would have been the Savior of the Jews. Hallelujah. But no, it says it traces that lineage not back only to Abraham, but it traces it all the way back to Adam. Jesus is not the second Abraham. Jesus is not the last Abraham. Jesus is the last Adam. Through his sacrifice and burial and resurrection, he provided salvation not only for the Jews, it's to the Jew first, but not only to the Jews, but to the Gentiles also. I and you ought to be so happy about that right there, see. But none of that is true if he was not born of a virgin. If Jesus was a natural man, born, conceived in the natural way, then he also would be a son of Adam. He also would have that death nature in him. And he would not be qualified to be the Savior of the world. He would not be the spotless lamb. He would be a spotted person. Not qualified. I like how Pastor Dave taught it on the Born Again Trail. He says you cannot get a Savior from a spiritually dead gene pool. The Savior couldn't come from the species of Adam because there was none unspotted. There was none without that sin nature. All have sinned. There's none righteous. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There was no one you could, from all of history, from fallen Adam forward, there was not a single person qualified, and there never would be. God had to, he looked at that whole dead ocean of dead spirits, and he says, we've got to reseed this dead species with life. Jesus is called the seed. He did not come from the line of Adam. He came forth from God himself. His humanity was spawned by the Holy Ghost with life intact in the womb of Mary. His spirit is pure, undefiled from God himself. His body, this is why he's the perfect pattern for us, and why it says looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, because his spirit is totally pure and from God, yet his natural genes, his natural body, the shell that he had on the outside, that came from Mary's side. And it's just as fallen as yours. He is the perfect pattern for us, born-again people, as we look at him in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Born of God on the inside, wearing fallen flesh, but still yet anointed by the Holy Ghost. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher, the developer of our faith. But it had to be a virgin birth in order for all of that to be true. Otherwise, he's just a good man. But a sinful man still at his core. And that's not true. All right. Well, let's look at this last Adam. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. Do y'all like Bible drill once in a while? And this is really talking about the resurrection, this whole passage here, and talking about not only the resurrection, but our glorified bodies that we're going to have. And Dave taught on that in 2003. on the, how we get our glorified bodies. The reason I know it was 2003, I didn't get to hear it for years. Sue and I were, that's when we were out of the country. We were in Poland and Africa and Korea for the first time. And I never did. See, I didn't do my homework like I should. I didn't come back and see what all was taught while I was gone. And I never heard any of those messages until this last year. And I went, why? And it was really a vital part of my understanding. I needed to have that. I got several important keys out of there. But let's look at it in the Word here. I'm not going to try and teach everything he taught in that six messages there, but picking it up in verse 42. Said, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised, talking about the body, in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown, now notice, a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. He's talking about that glorified body we're going to have, the one just like Jesus has now. I read about that after the resurrection where Jesus came and ate fish with the disciples. He walked through the wall, you know. I can understand it coming in. And he sits down and he eats with them. He gets up. He ate a fish. He walks through the wall. I don't understand why the fish didn't slide down the wall. It's a natural fish. I watched too many cartoons when I was young. Well, it's a natural fish. The fish is not resurrected. But he ate this fish, walks through the wall, and the fish somehow got glorified. It's a glorified body. It's a spiritual body. It doesn't, that rascal, that body there, it doesn't even want to sin. Oh, just a minute. I worship you. I worship you. Oh, I'm looking forward to that one. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Oh, I'm looking forward to that body, aren't you? That one's not going to get, well, of course, this one's not supposed to get sick, get weak, get tired. Well, I'm looking forward to that one. Anyway, it's sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written. Now here we go. Even though this is really talking about the resurrection, it gives us real insight into the first Adam and the last Adam, because that's all that really matters. You're either in one or the other. See, you're either spawned spiritually from the spiritual loins of the first Adam, or you have been reborn and spawned spiritually from the spiritual loins of the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. So it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening, and that means life-giving spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, so are they also that are earthy. In other words, they have that same nature. They understand things the same way, the fallen man. They understand natural things. They're earthy. They understand earthy things. So, verse 48, as is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. That's you, if you've been born again. Now here he's talking about our body again. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Dave taught in that series that I missed in 2003 how God took our spiritual DNA, a strand of spiritual DNA, if you'll allow me, and a strand of natural DNA, and he wove them together to create the natural man. But what's going to happen with us, on the inside of your born-again spirit, there's a DNA that contains the DNA for your spiritual body. That second body of yours is not going to come from the earth. That second body comes from that spiritual DNA that is spawned in you from heaven. That body will not be of the earth. It'll be from heaven, spawned from heaven, designed in heaven to operate in heaven. Actually designed in heaven to operate on a non-fallen earth. That's why there's going to be a new one. New heaven and a new earth. But I want you to see that last Adam, the first man, Adam. And notice it doesn't say the second Adam. It says he's the second man, all right. See, God's only ever made two men. Now, don't throw rocks. God's only ever made two men. First man and the second man. He made Adam and he made Jesus. All right? Now, once he made Adam, now out of Adam, he took a DNA from a rib. He took the DNA and he made a woman. Then what did he say to them? You go make men. I'm not going to make me. You go replenish the earth. I made mine. Now you go make people. All right? Now then, he made the second man. That's the virgin birth. That's the very thing we're talking about. He conceived the second man, the last Adam. There's not going to be a third Adam or a fourth Adam. There's the first Adam and the last Adam. That's it. But he conceived that one in the womb of Mary. He made that one. Okay? Now he's told Jesus through the church, we're the bride, go make people. Go make born again people. Go make people for my kingdom. Replenish the earth. It's Genesis all over again. We're supposed to go get people born again. Now, he's not telling to go fornicate. He's not saying go make people that way. Y'all know who I am, right? This is how I talk. Don't. He's saying, go make people. We're the bride. Jesus is our husband. As we come together and we get his mind and we find our place in the body of Christ, we all work together to do what? Replenish the earth. Get them born again. We're making new people. We're making people that are born of God's Spirit. There's two families on planet Earth. You're in one or the other. You're in the first Adam's family or you're in the last Adam's family. And there is no other. Everything else is just religion. It's do better, sinful man. And that will not work. And it doesn't matter what name is on it. The only thing that matters is a new creature. Are you born of God's Spirit? Or are you not? If you'd like to see that in your Bible, you're in the right chapter. Just back up a little bit. Back up to verses 21 and 22. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Jesus is the miracle of the ages. Jesus, the Bible, New Testament plainly tells you, Jesus is God with us. Amen. God was manifested in the flesh. In the beginning, the Word was with God. The Word was, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. By Him was everything made that was made. Nothing was made without Him. A little later down, it says, and the Word, that same Word that was God, that same Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. But yet He laid down His divinity. He is God. But He laid down that divinity. He operated as a man anointed by the Holy Ghost so he would be the pattern for every born-again person, for all of us. Who are we supposed to? We can learn things from Abraham. We can learn things from Moses. I love the faith of Noah. We can learn from those men, but they are not our pattern. There is only one pattern for Spirit-filled, Holy Ghost-baptized, born-again people. His name is Jesus. Born of God's Spirit on the inside. He is you. Born of you're of that family. You're of that lineage. Born of God's Spirit. Now you're wearing that same fallen flesh. But Dave again taught us eloquently. That flesh, you don't have to let it sin anymore. That new nature on the inside of you is a conquering spirit. You can put your spiritual foot right on the neck of your flesh. And it does not have to sin anymore. You say no. And that's without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. How do we know that? Looking unto Jesus, the author of our faith, because he lived sin-free for 30 years before he was baptized in the Holy Ghost. But yet you'll notice during that same 30 years, he never healed one person. He never opened one blind eye. He never did any miracle. Didn't walk on no water. Didn't turn no water to wine, none. Why? Because that's the ministry of the Holy Ghost. He co-labored. This new man, this man born of God's Spirit, the Holy Ghost, he and that Holy Ghost now, they co-labored together to bring forth God's kingdom to earth. God's will be done here just like it's done in heaven. I heard a quote apostle say the other day, quote, how do you know he's an apostle? He tells you he is one. I heard an apostle the other day say, Oh, the Lord's Prayer is not for us today, because it says, "Thy kingdom come." And His kingdom has already come. Therefore, we have kindergartners. We have people. I think my lily cakes can teach Him. Lord, how elementary. An apostle? Come on. You need to go back to elementary school. When Jesus, he tells us to go forth and preach the kingdom. The kingdom has come nigh thee. The kingdom is at hand. It means it's available to you. Something that's at hand is in reach. It's at hand. Well, the kingdom is at hand. Our job when we pray, when we minister, listen, left alone, have you noticed God's mind, His will does not happen here automatically? You know, the cancer people die. Murders, right? You think all of that is God's will? No, everything we do is thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We come in like an invader into this dark, sin, sick, lost planet. We come as avengers of light. I like that. Avengers of light to avenge His wrath upon the devil, not people. And the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the lost get saved. And the poor get fed and nurtured out of that poverty. I hate that. He hates it too. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It's supposed to be going everywhere you go. Where you go, you avenger of light. Where you go, His kingdom goes. Come into any dark area where oppression and sin and sickness and death and everything that is evil and this devil just having his way, not after you show up. And when I say you, I'm not really... Yeah, I am too. You. He died to make you that. And we have trouble believing that. Why? We get so much evidence daily that we're just puny weaklings. You know? And we believe that. Why? Well, that's the same thing Adam did in the garden. He believed what he saw instead of what God said. He watched he said he was right there with her when she ate that apple. He's watching for her to fall dead. God said, the day you eat of it, you're going to die. He's watching her. She ate of it. She didn't fall dead. He didn't know that she died spiritually. He couldn't see that. He was moved by what he saw. She didn't die. She offered him the apple. He said, I think the devil's right. He didn't know it was the devil. And he took of the apple. He did it with full knowledge. He knew. He made a decision. God is wrong and this serpent is right. Because why do you say that? I judge by what I saw, not what God said. Well, that's the whole human race. We're the church. The whole church is doing that right now. No, we like to sing them old songs, like one of my relatives told me a week or two ago, Johnny Cash. And I love Johnny Cash. I believe Johnny Cash is in heaven. You can believe what you want. I believe anyway. This relative of mine just got through listening to that song, still crying. It's so beautiful. Oh, what song was that? I'm just an old lump of coal, but I'll be a diamond someday. God. Reminds me of all those songs I heard in the church growing up. Here we trod on this earth so footsore and poorly shod through the muck in the mire, but at the end there's God. And we tend to believe it because we keep messing up. We feel like the guy in Romans 7, the things I want to do right, I don't wind up doing those, and the things I said I'd never do again, I wind up doing that again. And because we tend to do that, we tend to continue to think that we're just that same old person we were before. We're just forgiven now. And that's the power cutter. That if you believe that, and most of the church does, we have yet to really believe what the New Testament teaches. You are an avenger of light, child of light. You're not a child of darkness. Spirit born of God, sin trembles in your presence. Devils tremble when you walk in. They think, we hope this is one that hasn't learned the truth. Because if you've learned the truth and you've walked in knowing who you are, baptized in the Holy Ghost, that hospital one day, that children's hospital, Those devils, that you do understand that not a child is in there by the will of God. What I mean, and I'm not coming against the hospital, when I mean that sickness, whatever it is that's got them in there, not one of them is in there because it's God's will. I don't care what religion teaches. When the kingdom of God comes to the children's hospital, every one of them will walk out healed. Every single time. Is that plain enough, religion? You hear me? My name is Gary Carpenter. I want to give him Dave's address. No, it's... Anyway. We are. This is Christmas. This is the birth of the Savior. This is the event that started all of this. Without the birth of Jesus, we're all lost, and we're doomed to eternity in hell and living in a sin sick fallen world until then. God, thank God for the birth of Jesus Christ. Thank God he was born truly of a virgin. That we're not sons and daughters of Adam anymore. We've got the Spirit of the living God on the inside of us. We have a capacity to understand these things. Do you know how foolish this message sounds to people that are not born again yet? They think you've just absolutely lost your mind. And we have. We've gained his. I hope I've lost that old mind and I have his mind now. Think like him. Okay. So do I never did read. Did I ever read first for... 1 Corinthians 15, look at verses 21 and 22. For since by man came death, that's Adam, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. That's the last Adam, that's Jesus. Now get this. For as in Adam, all die. All. Even so, in Christ, shall all be made alive. Now, there it is. That is the dividing line of the whole planet right there. It doesn't matter whether you're Asian, European, American. It doesn't matter whether you're even got the name Christian. The only thing that matters, are you in Adam or are you in Christ? I had to put Christian in there because there's a lot of religions with the Christian name that do not teach the new birth. And you must be born again. So you're either in Adam or you're in Christ. Going over to 2 Corinthians now, chapter 5. Let's start at verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all. Who's that? That's Jesus. If one died for all, then we're all dead. I'll never forget that vision I had that day where the Holy Ghost taught me. I don't know if it was this verse now or another one, but I was meditating on the cross and thinking about the cross, and suddenly I went into one of those visions. I didn't fall over in a trance, but I went into a vision. It was so real to me. I can see it on the inside of me just like I saw it yesterday. And it was Jesus on the cross. And when he finally gave up the ghost, it says, and he slumped in death on the cross. I saw that. And at that moment, in my vision, there were people standing around the cross and walking here and there. At that moment in my vision, they all fell dead. Every single one of them. Then like a helicopter going higher and higher, I saw like from an aerial view, and everywhere, as far as I could see, it was nothing but dead bodies. Then it went further out, and I saw it wasn't just in Jerusalem there. It was the whole planet, the whole world. And I understood what he was saying in this verse. He had to die for all. Because why? They were all dead already. But when he died, he didn't die as Jesus. I mean, he was innocent. He's the substitute. Who is he dying in the place of? He's dying in the place of Adam. The whole species of Adam. You want to type in shadow from the Old Testament? Now here's Adam and Eve. They've sinned. They're hiding in the fig leaves, afraid of God, you know. God comes and interrogates them, basically, although you do know he knew already. Well, it's the woman. She made me do it. What about you, woman? No, it's the serpent. Made me do it. But you know, before that's over, the first death recorded in the Bible, the first physical death recorded in the Bible, it says God clothed them with animal skins. Now that's, I would bet you, if I was a betting man, that it was a lamb that was slain. But that is the first death. An animal had to be slain. But now get this type and shadow. That when that coat, that skin of that dead animal, there had to be blood that flowed. When that cloak was laid on Adam, at that moment, every human that would ever live was still in Adam. And here something died for the entire species of Adam. God, is that good? One died for all. That from the garden, that animal died. And he clothed Adam. And at that moment, the entire human race was still in his loins. Jesus died because the whole species was dead. God. Boy, I'm glad we backed up. Makes me want to cry. The love of God for us. The love of Christ constrains us because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not live hence, should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we, now get this, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ even, we knew him after the flesh. Yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. To a Jew reading this, it's real simple what this means. When you identified yourself as a Jewish person, I am Paul, or the son of so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, who was the son of so-and-so. And they traced that all the way back to Abraham. And that's how they knew you. Oh, that's who you are. You'd be maybe descended from Levi. You'd be of the tribe of Joseph. You'd be of the tribe of whatever. Okay? And they even knew Jesus that way. We have his genealogy on both sides. Joseph, who was not really his father, but also Mary, who was his mother. And we had the genealogy. At one time, we knew him after the flesh. We knew him and his genealogy, how he was born. But they go, we don't know him that way anymore. Why not? Even his body's not from Adam anymore. There's nothing about him that's of Adam. We don't know him after the flesh anymore. He is the firstborn from the dead. There are none before him, just like there were none before Adam. There are none before Jesus in this species. Okay? You're not of, only that body you're wearing, that's the only vestige left in whatever remaining Adam thinking parts you have in the soul. But that can be renewed, see? But we don't even know Jesus after the flesh anymore. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, and because he is not any more descended from Adam, you can't know him after the flesh, Christ. If you're in Christ, you're not descended from Adam anymore either. They can't know you after the flesh anymore. You're of a new species. That's what that's really saying. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, well, he's a new creature. We can't know you after the flesh. You've been spawned from heaven. You're not of this world. How would we know you after the flesh anymore? Oh, our carpenter is only the father of my flesh now. Not the father of my spirit at all. My spirit is from the last Adam, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. My spirit is not from Michael Muccio either. And that's important to say. Most of you know that Michael Muccio was the guy that led me to the Lord. But I wasn't born of Michael Muccio's spirit. And I like Michael, but still, thank God. No. Jesus is the Adam. Jesus is that last Adam. Your spirit is from the spiritual loins, if you'll allow me, of the last Adam, Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh. That phrase, God with us, Emmanuel, is coming to mean so much to me, because we just tend to think of Jesus as he was manifested, God with man on earth, and that is what it meant. But listen, the whole point of the new birth, the whole point of the gospel, is that everywhere you walk, God is with you. More than that now, God is in you. God is on you by the Holy Ghost. We are the avengers of light. I'm telling you, avengers of light going in. God has, he says, in the same way, he says in John 17, Father, as you have sent me, so now I'm sending them. Well, how did God send him? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him, and that same Holy Ghost is with us. We're to go in doing exactly that same thing. And I think our time is close. What I mean, I don't mean God had an appointed time. We're the ones determining that. How much are we letting him mature us? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. They have to be. Because that old man is dead, gone, buried, crucified, however you want. It says it a multitude of ways. We've been buried with him. Your old man has been crucified with him. He's dead. That old Gary Carpenter guy, the one that I know that you don't know, Sue knows. Others in here know. They knew me before. That guy is dead and he needed killing. Now he keeps wanting to climb up out of the grave, but I'm not going to let him. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new when you get born again. That is so true. You're born of a whole different species. You're not even of Adam anymore. You're of God. Okay, that's good enough. Go to Galatians 6. See, and boy, you talk about striking at the heart of the Judaizers who were going around trying to put people back under the law, and they were preaching circumcision. And they were preaching it because, well, circumcision is even before the law. Abraham was circumcised before the law. So obviously this is something that you have to do. If you're not circumcised, you cannot be accepted of God. And I'm sure they'd go back and read those verses. This is an everlasting covenant and so forth. Yeah, it was for that species. Covenant's over when the species is over. We've entered into a new covenant based upon better promises. Said good stuff. Mark liked that one, didn't you, Mark? But they were preaching it hard. You must be circumcised. They preach a lot of things today out of the Old Testament, saying you've got to do this to be blessed. You've got to do that to be blessed. Wrong covenant. Wrong species. Verse 15. Now, in Christ Jesus. No wonder they wanted to kill Paul. The Jews. The Judaizers, anyway. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. What's the only thing that matters? But a new creature. The only thing that matters. Have you been born again? Are you still in Adam? If you're still in Adam, I don't care what religion you put on, whether it's a, quote, Christian regimen of good works, whether it's knocking doors to get people saved, working your way to heaven, whether it's I'm going to lead a real moral life. If you have not been born again, you may have a Christian label. You can put a Chevy label right on my forehead. It does not make me a car. Okay? It does not. No. You can call yourself a good person. I'm just a good person. I'm sure I'm a good, whatever religion you want, and none of that. That is just as dead as circumcision. Doesn't avail anything, whether you do, whether you don't. The only thing that matters, are you a new creature? Have you been born of the Spirit of the living God? Have you been born again? Now, there's people that's going to be watching this around the world. Everyone bow your head just for a minute. If you want to be born again now, we're going to give you the opportunity right now. This is how you do it. Just repeat the. If you believe that Jesus truly was born of a virgin, and if you truly believe the gospel that he is God in the flesh, that he died for your sins, was raised on the third day, and that he's made possible this new birth, then you need to repeat this prayer with me right now. Just bow your head where you are and say out loud, say, Lord Jesus, y'all can say it with me. Let's say it with them. Lord Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner. Father, I have sinned, and I need redemption. Thank you for Jesus Christ, your Son, that died on the cross for me. I believe with all of my heart that you raised him from the dead. And I believe with all of my heart that he is my Lord forever. Forgive me all of my sins. Come into my heart. Make me a new creature. From this day forward, I am your child. Use me as you will. The rest of my life, I don't live to myself. I live my life unto you, Lord. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. On earth as in heaven. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you repeated that prayer and you meant it from your heart, you are now born again. You are no longer a child of Adam. You are a child of the living God. Hallelujah.